everything's fine. You got all that you need with Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper, June 18th, 2025, episode 138. Well, hello, my queen. I love you. I'm not doing any rhymes anymore.
Oh,
I'm out of rhymes. No, I'm out of rhymes. No.
No more rhymes?
No more. I got no rhymes.
Okay, show's done.
I got no rhythm. I got no rhyme. All I got is my love and all my time. There you go. Thank you. Hey, made another. Hello, baby.
Hi, honey.
Let's
how
cheers,
are you?
Everybody. One, okay. Two, three. Wow. Okay. Tina is drinking something new.
Sparkling rainwater.
Mm. Now, what brand is that? It's in a bottle?
It is Richards. Enjoy the same rain you drank as a kid. With your head back, your tongue
rain,
out.
Acid rain.
The sky.
Acid rain?
Yeah. It was on sale at the Hebe.
I'm telling you. We saw a commercial when we were in Austin. We'll get to that. We were watching TV and we were amazed about the amount of commercials. I'm telling you, there was a commercial for that product.
For Richard Sparkling Rainwater?
Yes, and you saw it and you bought it. Advertising works. I can't believe it. You got duped into
this tap.
It's tap water.
I don't even remember. It's got bubbles.
Tap water. They
carbonated. they
I'm just saying. Anyway, I am drinking.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking
hooch. That's what you call it.
I gave you my punchline.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
I was
setting it up. I had a whole lineup. And then the punchline was going to be, I'm drinking Sir Brian's hooch.
Yes. Well, you should have saved it for the show then. Instead of saying it to me, I didn't know you were going to use it.
But you see, I like making you laugh anytime, anywhere. Oh. So, yes, this is the Curry and the Keeper Cabernet 2025.
Cabernet.
It's okay. I mean, I emptied the bottle.
You've been drinking it for about 3-4 days.
About four
You're
weeks.
You're like, I'm trying to get this down. It tastes like vinegar.
Thank God there's some food to wash it, to choke it down with.
Brian sent us two bottles of wine. For our anniversary.
That has a very nice Curry and the Keeper label on it.
Yes.
And so I don't know how he had that made. It's kind of cool. It's a cute gift.
Yes.
You took pictures of it, right?
I did. Did we use it for the newsletter?
For the newsletter, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He thought for sure he was going to get a lot of followers, but alas, he didn't. Talking about him again.
Is he still texting you 18 times a day?
Oh my gosh, he's driving me crazy. This guy's got problems. He's like, Mindy's following me now. I go, I will be sure to warn her.
Speaking of the newsletter.
Anyway. Oh, you haven't seen it?
Yeah, I have seen it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly the picture I thought you'd use. Very nice. Okay. Well, I put nothing in my show notes because I was just with you. I followed you. Everything has to do with you. You're in charge. You control the ship. Full speed ahead, Captain.
That's not true.
Oh, okay.
Turn your phone off.
Yes. Yeah. Where is that?
That is so not true. This is our show, not Tina's show. If it was the Keeper show, you wouldn't be on here. I'd be behind the
what happened?
I'd be behind the operation, running everything my way. With a new jingle.
Do you want a new jingle? You don't like the jingle anymore?
No, I like
anymore?
The jingle.
Oh, talk to your buddy Jeff Smith. I'm sorry. What happened to you're just the producer? I mean, I'm sorry. I took that to heart.
You are my employee.
Oh, that's what aye, Captain. Aye, Captain. All right, here we go.
Yes, here
when we
go.
Last left Tina and Adam on last Wednesday.
Yes, what
I can't
did we
even.
Do?
I can't even remember well, that we
went,
far back.
We went out to dinner with Brandy and Chris.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Brian's
was
on
that Wednesday night? No,
that was Friday
no, that was
night.
Friday night. Yeah,
yeah. We went out. And that was nice. And so she was grilling you about all her conspiracy theories, and you were calming her down.
Oh my
Not
goodness!
That she was like crazy about them, but she's very curious. You know. So.
Well, and whenever someone starts with "I follow this person I really trust," I'm like, "Okay, where's this person on Instagram?" Like, okay.
Yeah. So that was nice.
It was really nice. Yeah. I got a chance to catch up with Chris a little bit, you know, see how he's doing. We went out to Brian's on 290, mm-hmm. which I don't know if we should, you know, because being there twice within the span of a week or 10 days, a little close together because, you know, the menus is like,
Yeah.
I really wanted that, but I had that last time. I'm going to have this now. But I did have, what did I have?
You had the tenderloin. You liked it.
The tenderloin is very good.
And the crab cake was very good. The
crab cake was phenomenal.
My braised short rib was okay. Brandy didn't, she didn't think the chicken was all that great. But it was, you know, it was nice. It was nice to kind of get out of Fredericksburg and go to Johnson City. And
it was.
Yeah. So it was nice. It was nice to spend some time with them too.
It's good.
Yeah. So that was good. And then
Saturday.
It was the dueling piano show, and we divided and conquered because Pastor Jimmy wanted you to go to the Patriot Academy with him to see a gentleman by the name of Victor Marx, who has made a huge impression in our lives. Now, if you have not seen the Sunday service, Victor Marx, the pulpit was turned over to Victor Marx. You have to see.
Yeah. And and watch both services. They're both online. Yes. Or coincidentally, both available on Hello Fred and the Godcaster on the bridge. Yeah. If you just want to listen to it while you're driving.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. So we decided to divide and conquer. And so we had Pastor Jimmy and Annette here for dinner. And then you two went to Patriot Academy and Annette and I went to the dueling piano show.
How was it?
It was fun. There was a lot of friends from church.
Everybody was there, right?
Yeah, like the group, the new gang from church.
There's a new gang?
There's a new
gang.
What
happened to the old gang? Did it just wither away?
Well, no, they're still around, but you know, they're aged like a fine wine. This is new.
This is for the young kids.
Yeah, the youngins.
Who can stay out late.
Yes.
Like 9:30.
Yes, yeah. The youngins. We're by far the oldest ones there. So it was a lot of fun. And of course, you know, you're like, here, take some money because you have to tip the dueling piano guys.
Yes, you have to, always.
Yeah. And so of course I tipped $20 for them to play Come On, Eileen.
Why would you have
that
song?
Come on, Eileen. Bum, 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 bum. You know the song.
Not in your version.
Who was the
Dexy Midnight? Nice. Dexy's Midnight Runners. Oh, see, please.
I thought it was Come On, Irene. Until I looked it up, it's Come On, Eileen.
Yeah, up until this week, you thought it was Come On, Irene?
Yes.
Wow. In China, it is Come On, Irene.
Racist.
Yeah, I try.
No, so I guess like three people had paid and requested that song.
Really?
Yes, yeah. People were dropping dollars.
Is that like a floor filler party hit? Is that because, you know, the thing is,
you got to have like upbeat tunes.
That,
you know,
song is literally from like 1981.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
And I don't know. It was just like, I've heard that. Maybe it's because I've played that song so many times on the radio. I'm like, like,
I think it's fun. I haven't heard.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
But, you know, they played like Oh Caroline from Neil Diamond. You know,
Sweet Caroline.
Oh, Sweet Caroline.
You're lucky to have me here as your employee to set you straight. Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. There you go.
So they had one side of the room.
Give me some more of those song titles that you have
wrong.
I'm
trying to think what else they had. I know.
I'm liking it now.
So bad. During that song, they had people say bump, bump, bump. And then I don't know what the other verse is for Sweet Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so they had one side of the room do it.
That's guaranteed party song.
It was a lot of fun, but it was a school night. And we thought that you two might have been back early, and so we didn't stay that long. I mean, we stayed till maybe 8:30.
School night meaning it's a show night for me, and of course church the next day for Pastor Jimmy and Annette.
They get
there pretty early too.
Super early.
Yeah. And he was playing in the worship team.
Yes.
So
yes.
He's
back in the band.
Yeah, he was.
He's back in the band. They invited him back.
Worship team. Worship team is the team. Worship team. They should have jerseys.
Code word for band, like you used to say.
That's right. Just Christian for band.
Yeah. So, but it was fun. There was, you know, there was a lot of people there. A lot of people were having a good time.
So yeah. Pastor Jimmy, they came out here, and then, you know, the Patriot Academy is near them. So he drove the two of us back there. And it was for filming of the biblical citizenship course that the Patriot Academy is putting together.
Yes.
And the green team is always a little last minute with things like, hey, we need some people to come. But what had happened was, and I really didn't know about Victor Marx at all.
No.
I think Pastor Jimmy had just started watching some of his stuff. I wouldn't say there's any coincidence in the kingdom when it comes to that.
Rick asking him if he could.
I think so.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
I thought it was kind of Okay. Anyway, I don't know.
Or he had gotten his book or something. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know anything about him, but Pastor Jimmy said, "Hey, let's go." And I'm like, and actually, because I was kind of, when the request came in, I love how Pastor Jimmy and Dame Annette divide and conquer on these things. I get a text, "Hey, brother, how about you and I go to Patriot Academy and the girls can go to the dueling pianos?" And I'm like, I thought we were kind of all going to have a fun time, the four of us at the dueling piano. So I walk into the bedroom, you're doing your makeup or something. I say, and before I can even open my mouth, he said, "Yeah, Annette," I said, "this." I'm like, because I, in a weird way, I was kind of convinced that you wanted to have the four of us go to the dueling pianos.
I don't know why I was so like, I think you need to do this.
Because I've known you for, you know, a couple of years now. And I like, and I expected a different response. You're like, "Oh yeah, you should totally go do that." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Cause you know, last thing I want is strife in the family.
No strife.
I mean, I wouldn't want to choose Pastor Jimmy over you. I mean, I'm glad you made that choice. I'm like,
And that's so strange because I didn't know anything about Victor Marx either. Right. Nothing. And so I don't know. It was, I would have to say it's the Holy Spirit who just.
That's my point, basically. Mm-hmm. So like, okay, cool. So we go Victor Marx. You can find him at VictorMarx.com. And I'd heard them talk about on Living Up in a Down World. So I knew a little bit about what he was doing. But in short, he has, he's a former Marine. He later in life started a ministry, All Things Possible. Mm-hmm. And they go it's releasing captives in the real world, people who are captive in their minds, all these different things. Mm-hmm. All Things Possible ministry website. But he has saved over 40,000 children and women from sex slavery, from, you know, all kinds
of trafficking,
and bad
he is
kidnapped.
He is a God-fearing man.
Oh, he eats and breathes and spits God fire. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of a rough guy. He's called The Dangerous Gentleman is the name of his book. And you look at him like, that's your typical, you know, Marine, Delta Force, Navy SEAL, fill in the blank.
And what isn't he the fastest? He can disarm the...
Yes, he's the fastest gun disarmer in the West.
Yes,
and whatever. Like, but he's been on Sean Ryan's show and a number of podcasts. Uh-huh. You can find him everywhere now that you're looking for him. And his story, and he speaks for about 2 hours. And you know,
at Patriot Academy,
they really only need like 30 minutes. They're trying to get everything into this biblical citizenship course. But of course, Rick Green just let him speak. And fascinating guy. I mean, just mind-blowing. A lot of what he said came back later the next day in both of the messages that he did at the church. And so at the end, and the whole point was Pastor Jimmy wanted to just say, "Hey, I'm Pastor Jimmy. Nice to meet you." Because, you know, this has all kind of been set up through people and getting stuff done. But Pastor Jimmy was, you know, he got the Holy Spirit told him, "Yeah, right away, go." Victor Marx for sure, for Father's Day especially. Yes. Mm-hmm. And part of his story is about that as well. And so, you know, Pastor Jimmy, we're waiting patiently. Everyone wants to get selfies with him. You know, I'm just waiting. And Pastor Jimmy meets him. "Hey, it's Jimmy Pruitt." And, "Oh, finally, great." And Pastor Jimmy just said, "Oh, this is my friend Adam Curry." And I say, "Hey, nice to meet you." And then he goes back and they're talking. I'm just in the background. You know, it's like, this is not my gig. I'm just hanging back, listening. And then as we're about to go, he grabs my hand and he looks in my eyes. I felt like I can feel his gaze at the back of my skull. And he says, "I like you and I need to talk with you." Mm. And I'm like, I'm just taken aback. I'm like, because does he recognize me? You know, mm-hmm. Does he know what I do? Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure. I said, "Well, I'll be at the service tomorrow morning, but I work on Sunday. So, you know, hopefully," just "talk to my guy over there, Chaz. Make sure we get our numbers because I need to speak with you." Okay.
And when you came home, you told me that story three times. So I knew
there was something going on.
I knew that it impacted you because you rarely repeat yourself like that, but you told me three times. I'm like, this, something's up here. Something's up.
Something was going on. Yes. And I just wasn't sure. I'm like, in a way I had a thought like, oh, you recognize me from Joe Rogan? You want to talk to Joe Rogan? Unfortunately, that's my default with a lot of people because that does happen mm-hmm. a lot. Like, mm-hmm. hey, I want to meet with you about something. And it's like, hey, you know, can you mention to Joe or what I'm doing? So,
yeah.
But that just went through my head. But that was more than that, clearly. Otherwise, I wouldn't have brought it up so many times to you. So then Sunday, the service, which I mean, people just go watch it.
And
I
mean, he's so engaging. He's funny.
It was impactful. Yes.
And
he's
engaging. He's inspiring and impactful. Yes.
And it was great for Father's Day. Just a great Father's Day mess. Everyone's like, I got to call my dad. so I guess, you know, and I didn't even say anything to him there, you know, cause we were kicked back a row to our, you know, the backseaters now.
Yeah,
no
we
longer
were in the
in
backseat.
The guests get all the front row seats. Yeah, get back there.
Yeah, you're not important. No, we were gladly.
Of course.
It was not a problem.
And so I guess they all went out to lunch and they had a nice
afterwards,
long lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the message came like, he really wants to see you tomorrow, Monday, before he leaves.
Yes.
I'm like, and by the way, you immediately said, oh yeah, you should totally do that. Do you remember that when the message mm-hmm. came in?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, 11 o'clock. You want to pick up the story from here since it kind of intertwines?
Sure. So we had planned to head to Austin Monday to finally celebrate our anniversary and our marriage. And we had talked in the morning and I said, okay, you're going at 11 o'clock. When will you be done? And you said, he only has an hour because they have to catch a flight. So I'll be done at noon. You said, I'll come home. I'm going to run to the bank. Then we'll take Phoebe to the vet and we'll be on the road by 2 o'clock. And I said, great, great. So the plan was set. You were on your way. And we were both like, I wonder what God's up to. I wonder what God's got up to with this. And so I am getting ready. You know, I'm packing us up, getting everything ready to go. And I look at the clock and it's almost 1 o'clock. And I'm like, what is going on? So I text you and I go, where are you? And I'm mad because now I'm thinking, here we go again. Tina gets put second place. Well, actually third place because first place is God, Jesus. Second place is Victor Marks and third place is Tina. Like, here we go again. I get pushed. And so I got angry and I said, you're late. We had a plan. And you said, I'm just leaving now. And I said, what did I say?
No. Let me step back.
I can tell you exactly what I don't have my phone with me.
Yeah. Well, let me step back a little bit because I was trying to call you. You were hitting me to voicemail. I mean,
decline.
9 times in a row. Anyway, so
I was mad.
So here's what happened. So it took a little bit for us to get up to a conference room. And so we're sitting down and it's clear he doesn't know anything. I mean, MTV, he's like, I know MTV. He doesn't really know anything. His son is there taking notes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And so I just tell him my story about my background, you know, how I got saved, with the things I realized. And he's listening to me and he says, son, you can leave now because I'm going to pray. That was to his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just two of us in this conference room. And he says, look, this is what I do now. It says, besides going and you know, what the ministry does, rescuing children and women, he says, I do this he just got back from Fort Bragg. I do this for Delta Force guys, for CEOs, for presidents. This is what I do. And he calls it retooling prayer.
But before that, though, he said that he saw you in the audience at Patriot Academy.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yes.
Yes. He said, when I saw you at the Patriot Academy, just in the audience, I kept looking at you. I didn't know I didn't really realize he was looking at me directly. He said, and the more the evening went on, I just got tunnel vision and all I could see was your face. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you've got to talk to him. He says, I don't know why.
He said that? The Holy Spirit said that?
He said, I kept hearing you have to talk to him.
Oh.
He said, I don't know why. So I tell him everything, you know, all the way up to Godcaster and how that came about. And then he asks his son to leave and he says, okay, this is what I do. And he goes through a prayer with me and helps me visualize some things about spiritual warfare. And And it's, I mean, this is intense stuff. And he's just battling against the enemy. He's just, you know, like, show yourself and what do you want? What are you trying to do with Adam? And to make a very long story short, because this took 45 minutes at least, he says, oh, so the enemy really does not like what you're doing and wants to stop what you're doing at all costs. And this is, I learned in a minute, related to Godcaster and podcasting in general. And through this process, so when this starts to happen and through this process, it comes out that this enemy is actually afraid of me.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're doing this, poof, the entire Patriot Academy loses power. I mean, it's pitch dark. My eyes were closed anyway. It's pitch dark. His security detail just runs into the room. He's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. They go out, comes back on, and we finish up. And I said, did the power go off? He said, oh, yeah. He said, oh, yeah. The enemy was definitely playing parlor tricks.
So he basically brought you freedom from challenges that were holding you back on what God wants you to do.
Amazing. Yes. Exactly what mm-hmm. he did. And so now I'm just like, wow. And then I walk out, and I had not met his wife, Eileen. And she knew about podcasting, and she says, so there's warfare about this. And I say, yeah, I mean, it was really amazing what we just went through. And she says, do you know who the prince of the airwaves is? And I said, no, it's just Satan. It says Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the air or the prince of the airwaves, that is what the enemy is. And so he hates you for that because you are spreading the gospel through the airwaves mm-hmm. and he feels that he is in charge of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when you think about all the airwaves that we receive, don't just think over the air, but through the internet, just think of who's really in charge of all the messaging that comes into our television sets, our mm-hmm. phones, everything. I'm like, wow.
And it's so debaucherous. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then I see your text. I'm like, okay, so I get in my car. And of course there's construction on 87. So I'm sitting there waiting. And I'm like, I need to explain to you what happened. And you're just denying, declining.
I felt like I was pushed to the side again. And I'm thinking, this is supposed to be a celebration of our marriage. And this is how he's treating me. It's like and I had no idea what was transpiring. And I thought maybe it was a business meeting. I had no clue.
And here's the thing at that moment, because of course, two lines of a text message from you, I know what's up. I'm like, oh, okay, enemy. So we defeat you here, but you're going to go attack my wife. This is exactly what you're doing. And I start praying. I'm like, get behind me, Satan. No way. You're not going to be in charge of this. This is not going to happen. And I keep trying to call you. And then I do voice to text. I explain what happens. And then you say, well, okay, I'll be home at 2. I said, we'll make it fine. I won't be able to go to the bank, but we'll drop Phoebe off. It'll all be okay. And I come home. And I take Phoebe out for a quick walk, and then I'm just praying, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, please just help Tina understand what happened here. And then the door opens, you walk in, and you're like, I completely understand the enemy, what happened here.
Well, I was in the coffee shop, so I'm like, I'm taking myself to lunch.
I'm like, what?
I'm like, I'm out of here. And I said, I don't want to go. I said, I don't feel like going now. Because I didn't know. And then you sent. So when I sat down at the coffee house, at the cocky house, as you
yes,
like to call
cocky
it.
Cocky house, yes.
With my brownie, which yeah. I rarely ever eat in my coffee. Like, it's like yeah. complete sabotage. I got your text.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm reading it. And I had to calm myself down. Mm-hmm. Like, I got so wrapped up in being so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I folded my hands and I just started to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I started to pray and I prayed to Jesus and Jesus through his keeping my eyes on him. He got me through. He got me through that. And I was able to calm myself down. And, I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail, but I was able to calm myself down. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go home. And then when I walked in the door, I understood. I could see it. Could see it so clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so for me, it was just like, oh man, he's attacking us. He's attacking us. Like, oh, that attack vector doesn't work. Oh, Watch this. Watch me attack you through your wife. Watch me do this.
Because I haven't been that angry in a long time. Like, to decline your phone call.
No, you've never done him. That.
You called 9 times and I just kept hitting decline, decline, decline. And to just be so, I can't remember the last time I was. And to leave, I can't remember the last time that I used. No. I mean, it's been years
but
since I did that.
That was all the work of the enemy, every single bit of it. And what I love is that you came home, we're like, oh, and then we hugged and we're like, okay, it was good.
And you, right away. And yes. And so you felt such freedom from these issues. So did you feel lighter?
Oh, I'm still processing. It's just like, wow, I never thought about, yes, we talk about spiritual warfare, but now when it was kind of exposed to me, I'm like, wow, okay. And even on our meeting yesterday, our partner meeting, I said, this is what happened. And we have to be aware that there's spiritual warfare going on around this project specifically. So we pray before our meetings and everything. So we're doing it for God. I mean, we're doing it for his glory. It was good to just say, hey, we got to be aware of this because he's going to try and cause strife between us and all kinds of stuff. And that puts you in such a different headspace.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Because, you were also just trying to figure out some things. Like, how do you discern when a thought you have is from God or when the enemy puts something in your head?
Well, that leads into my, and we'll talk about that God
show. It's called an alley-oop.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to go there yet. No, not ready to go.
You're not so at the net.
Alley-oop
you're not at the hoop. Okay, I'm
sorry.
I'm
not at the hoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty remarkable that that was probably the biggest test for us, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Since we've come to Christ, since we've been saved.
But it was phenomenal.
We weathered that storm. Like, yeah.
Yes, faith, we did.
But God.
Yeah.
Seriously. We did.
And then we hopped in the car, got the Phoebers in the back, dropped her off. She was like, oh, I'm going to go see Jill and Mike. And she's like, when I went back with her to her executive suite cage, she looks at me like, bro.
Don't you love me?
You psyched me out, man. This is not Jill and Mike's place. Where's the Longhorns? Where's Max and Bandit? Where's the cat? No, this is, I'm in jail. What did you do, bro? And then we went, bye, Phoebe. And she was fine.
Yeah. She was there less than 24 hours.
Everybody there loves her. They take very good care of her. So we drove to Austin. We got to the hotel. Everything was almost perfect. You know, not everything I wanted to arrange was there, but okay.
Nothing was there.
But
it was okay. I didn't care.
But here's a half bottle of champagne in the minibar.
Yes. That'll cost you $100.
It's all right. And it was, we were still talking about it. We just said,
we listened to the second service on the way in, to Austin. Right. We listened to the whole second service.
We got dressed.
Yes.
And then we went over to J. Carver, which is where our friend Andrew, who was the maitre d' at Trulux, where a lot of our courtship took place. I think we talked about it on the previous episode.
Yeah.
And he was there waiting for us. And they had a table, the only table with flowers and a nice
and a
card
rose,
and a rose
card.
Signed by
Which
everyone
in
the
restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the picture you put in the newsletter.
And then the waitress shows up with 2 glasses of champagne.
Yes, they took such good care of us.
They did.
It was fantastic.
And it was busy in there for a Monday night.
Apparently, it's even hard to get a reservation there. Unless you know somebody. Unless you're Adam Curry, Podfather, or just happen to know the maitre d'.
Well, you had booked way in advance, though. That was okay. Mm-hmm. But yes, we had a lovely dinner. And then I was like, oh, we ordered dessert, which we barely touched because we were so full.
Oh, it was so huge. It was like a sampler.
Yes. And it was,
each sampler by itself would have been too much for the two of us. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So,
but then I was like, let's walk back to the hotel.
Yes.
And it was not far, maybe a half a mile. It wasn't far.
And what is our biggest surprise walking back to the hotel?
How many Waymos there were.
Unbelievable.
I could not believe it.
We must
explain
have seen
what the
20.
Waymo is.
It's the self-driving car service.
Yes, all these self-driving cars.
And there must have been 20 of them. And they're zipping around. They're Speedy Gonzales. I'm like, this is disturbing almost.
Yes.
It's kind of disturbing. Yeah.
And I go, well, there goes the Uber business.
Yeah. Uber's possibly.
Then you say Tesla's going to launch a driverless car.
Yeah, a couple of weeks and then driverless cars in Austin. Austin is the test market. That's why there's so many of them. Yeah. Austin is a good test market for that.
We must have seen what, 10?
20. No, 20. 10, at 20. Least 20. Yeah. It's amazing how many. And it's kind of odd.
So I said to you, I go, if it's a driverless car, why do they have a steering wheel? Why do you need the steering wheel?
That's a very good point.
Why do you even need that? It's, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Why can't, like, the white?
And then there was some other service that we saw, another, mm-hmm. like a van, a driverless van. It's like, well, the future is here, I guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't invest in it because, you know, the minute I hate to say it, but the minute they have some horrible accident, you know, everyone's going to start asking about it. You know, it only takes one. It only takes one accident.
You just need a computer glitch.
Well, and whatever. Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic.
What's their safety record? Do you know?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think, pretty good. And so then we go back to the hotel and we're like, well, let's watch some TV. And it was all sports and commercials, basically. And we're just like, okay, junk food, pharma next. Yeah, pharma next. And that's when the commercial came on for that rainwater. Oh. I'm telling you.
I don't even remember.
I remember. Oh, because I remember saying farmer commercial and then the rainwater came up. I'm like, oh, okay. So anyway.
Yeah. And then we got up early and I'm like, let's go home.
You're like, we'll go to the Swedish breakfast place. And you're like, well, why don't we just get coffee and go? And then we did wind up going to snooze.
Yeah. Which is okay.
Yeah.
But it was a lovely, we had a very, very nice dinner. That was nice.
Totally relaxing. Yeah. And of course, I promised myself no work on Mondays.
And you didn't.
And it wasn't. No, it was anything but work.
It started off a crazy day.
It started off a crazy day. And of course, I came home like, boom, I hit the ground running. I'm like, brr. I mean, you even started to eat without. I didn't know you were going to eat that night, but you started to eat without me because I went.
Why
long
wouldn't
on my
I
meeting.
Eat? We had
sometimes you don't eat in the evening, and you eat, you know, you.
No, you were in a 3-hour meeting. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to cook the fillets myself. Hope I don't.
Did you
burn
at any
them.
Point think, oh, I'm number two again?
Yeah, kind of. No.
You did a great job on the grill.
I did.
You did a good job.
I did. Yeah. But we were driving home, and I go, I need a new hairstyle. I think I'm going to get bangs. You're like, no bangs.
I said, no bangs.
No bangs.
No bangs.
And I said, yeah, like little curtain bangs.
Curtain bangs. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. No bangs. Women over 40 should not cut their hair short because you'll hate it. Some women don't, but in general. And no bangs. Yes. No woman of any age should have bangs. Just no to bangs. I know tears will come. Don't get bangs.
Tears will come.
It's the law of the rule of the jungle.
Newsflash. Hair grows.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had bangs.
And then, listen, I had to listen to the rim story for 3 years. Now I got to sit here and listen to, well, my hair. I can't wait till my hair grows out because the bangs. I don't like my bangs. They look stupid. Do they look stupid? What do you think of these bangs? What if I do it like this? Oh, man, I should have never done the bangs. I know the bang story.
Okay.
Every
I like
guy,
how you just told me what to do. No bangs.
I never tell you.
I'm putting
you
my foot down. No bangs.
I know, because I don't want to hear it. No bangs. Okay. You won't like. You look beautiful. Your hair is fantastic.
Not like little curtain bangs?
No curtain bangs. No. This is your show title. No bangs. No bangs. Done.
Oh. Yeah. There are some people that could rock the bangs.
Very few rock the bangs. Who rocks the bangs? Tell me one person we know who rocks the bangs.
Heidi Klum.
Oh, please. Does she have bangs right now?
I think
now?
So. I don't know.
Well, she must be very lonely.
Yeah. No, I don't think she is.
Bangs. No bangs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yes.
And then what?
Yeah, that covered it.
That covered everything.
I had lunch with my friend Mindy today, and after lunch I went over to the church because I wanted to see Annette before they're heading off on their work trip. They're going to California.
They're going to
see Jack Hibbs on Sunday.
At Jack Hibbs' mm-hmm. church?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so I wanted to talk to her about a couple things and get her counsel, and I enjoy her counsel. I wanted to tell her what had happened on Monday because she didn't have the full story. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to talk to her about what we discussed on Saturday. So we, and this kind of goes into my God shots. Oh, nice.
Tina's God. You notice how I,
wow, are you professional?
You notice how I didn't even stop looking at you and that thing fired off?
You got it. Thanks. So anyway, so lots of times friendships hit a blip for whatever reason, you know, and I felt like my friendship with Annette was changing, and it was making me really sad. It was making me, you know, you've lived through it with me, mm-hmm. made me sad, and it made me anxious. And on Saturday night, I finally, with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, said something to her about how I felt like our friendship was changing, and it was really upsetting to me. And she felt the same way. And we both were feeling the same way, but nobody said anything. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of stuck in our silos, you mm-hmm. know, about what we were thinking. And what I was thinking, she was thinking. What she was thinking, I was thinking. But yet there was no communication. We realized, like,
what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Communicate.
Yes.
But it was interesting because I felt like God was trying to heal me from my rejection issues. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he keeps presenting these trials and these challenges to me in order to heal me. She thought very differently. And she said, this is the enemy. She said, this is the enemy who doesn't want me to have a good girlfriend. So it was interesting. So I started focusing on, and I prayed about it this morning, like, how do I know that it's God's voice or it's the enemy? And so when I talked to her today, I asked her that question. I said, I'm looking for you to kind of guide me on that. And she said that God only speaks about goodness and love. Mm. If there's anything negative, it doesn't come from God. And I know that, yeah. But I think maybe I was trying to look for excuses because I felt like my friendship was changing and it was making me sad.
Yeah.
So Annette actually almost quotes this scripture when we're talking, and that is my scripture in my God shot today.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'd love to hear it. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. She basically recited that scripture. And so it was nice for her to confirm to me that, you know, the voice of God, he would never say anything negative that does not come from love. And so in my notes, I have here that Jesus said that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm. Whenever you get a voice or a thought that is stealing your peace, which is what was happening,
yes.
or attacking the promises of God, mm-hmm. for you as God's child, you know that it is the enemy. The voice is usually a voice of fear, condemnation, self-hate, shame, doubt, jealousy, envy, hatred. So I'm like, oh. Like that, because I was like, oh, I need better discernment. How do I know? And mm-hmm. she just clarified that for me. Not only did a huge relief come off of both of us. And
no, because I know that. Yes.
And we
I
just, know. We just mm-hmm. love each other so much. And she's such a precious friend that the thought of it, like going away, was really hard on my heart. And it was for her too. And so to work through that and then for her to counsel me, like, this is how you know the difference. So now I know, like, the enemy again was really trying to get in the way of our friendship for different reasons, to keep me stuck in my trauma of rejection and to keep her stuck in being fearful. So it was so good to go through that.
Not knowing any of this. And, you know, there's this, this cool, radio station called the Hello Fred.
Yes.
and so I make promos for our show and for, Wall Builders and for, Matt Long and for Living Up in a Down World. And so they did their show last Thursday. I cut the promo unbeknownst to all of this. This promo was cut before any of this happened. Listen to the promo.
This week on the Living Up in a Down World podcast.
We all have these thoughts, these intrusive thoughts that come into our mind. I know I do a lot.
We all do.
And that are negative. And those negative thoughts are never from God, because God thinks only positive things about us. He sees the end from the beginning. So when we have a negative thought about ourselves, let's just say about ourselves, not about someone else, but about ourselves, that's where we have to fight the enemy on that. And I think women probably have to more than men. I don't know. I can only speak for myself because I'm a woman.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that.
But we talk about it more to other people, whereas men keep it to themselves. Right, I'll just say that. True. You usually Definitely. Don't have a conversation with a guy saying, yeah, I have this thought about, you know, I've got these. You know,
I've got love handles.
I've got love handles. Exactly.
Adam, what I got love handles, bro. What about you? How are you?
Women do. No, we talk like that.
Go to Hello Fred.
So, when was that recorded?
Last Thursday.
Oh.
Last Thursday. Yeah.
See, she was battling it. She was in the thick of it, just like I was too. Mm-hmm. And
the big takeaway for me, though, Pastor Jimmy has love handles. But how about that? In a way, you know,
so true.
So the way I see it is God was trying to already communicate this to both of you. And then, I mean, I just needle drop for, I listened to the whole show, but I'm like, I like this part. And I'll just grab that because the punchline, of course, is I have love handles. But all of that before that, that's the Holy Spirit moving me to cut that and make it a promo. Now, if only we get the Holy Spirit to make you listen to Hello Fred. I mean,
listen to Hello Fred. But let me wrap this up before you go into joke mode.
I'm sorry.
I just thought it was so interesting how we were both coming at it from different perspectives, and then how she counseled me through it.
Yeah.
And that I just have to remember that all these thoughts and suggestions, are they in line with God's word? Are they in line with God's character? Mm. You know, like that is my go-to. And I kept thinking, I just got to keep being punished until I get healed. He's just going to keep presenting this to me until I finally figure it out. And that's not how it is at all, at all. And not only that, it brought me such relief. Both of us, we felt like, oh my gosh, we were so heavy on both of us. And I said to her, I said, when you walked in the door, I said, I was waiting for you to hug me. I said, and you didn't hug me. She goes, I was waiting for you to hug me. You see what the enemy does?
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
She's not texting me. I'm not texting her. I'm not texting her. I'm waiting for this person.
We are.
Yes.
Mature women.
Yes.
It's like, this is ridiculous. Well, and so,
that's what the enemy does. And once you, and in a way, I guess the rejection thing is also what, when I didn't come home on time.
Yes.
It's the same.
That's my trauma. Mm-hmm. Where her trauma is fear. And she'll tell you that's her trauma. My trauma is rejection because it started at such a young age, probably when I was in the womb.
Hey, go God, man.
Right? Jesus. This is a go God show.
Yes, I love it.
Now it's time to hear from Nicole Sokas.
That's right.
We got to hear from those cocksuckers now.
Yeah. What did you say?
Now it's time to hear from the cocksuckers.
Yeah, value for value is the name of the game. We love hearing back from you guys anyway, from all of Vineyard Nation, any way that you feel like it. We have our P.O. Box. The P.O. Box got cobwebs, man. Nothing going on at the P.O. Box. We love getting stuff in the P.O. Box. We love emails, anything. And of course, as a value for value, we love it when you return some value to us. Please consider doing that with the Modern Podcast app. We are still on the Fountain hosting system, which is working very well. It goes incredibly fast, actually. I post the show and I can do 5 more minutes of stuff before you wonder if the show has been posted.
How about that?
I sit in here, do some more stuff. And so we accept Satoshis of the Bitcoin through a boost on Fountain, but you can also send us anything through a credit card on the Fountain app. You can, if you go to our show, you can hit on that and you can subscribe and do all kinds of different ways of supporting us, or PayPal. CurryingTheKeeper.com is our website. You can learn all about us. Please subscribe to the newsletter. It's great. I read it every single time. Usually during the show, but I read it every single time, and it's funny, and it gets you pumped up and ready for what's happening.
I know, you get a million emails, so I'm not going to give you
crap. Hey, kicking it off.
I know.
I mean, I'm blown away by this. This is our OG Salmonier, Michael Anastasio, who kicks up with $400 on Michael, the PayPal. Mike,
I was like, when it came through, I said, Adam.
I know.
Adam. Rita's note.
A bit of value for value. Keep up the good work. P.S. Adam, grab yourself a great bottle of wine and know that Vineyard Nation misses Tipsy Tina. We all miss Tipsy Tina, Michael.
She'll be back. It's just, Michael, I drank a lot on Monday. And then I had a lot of rosé last weekend. Yeah. So I'm like.
Next week, maybe. Maybe. Okay. Yeah. Next. And we'll grab a good bottle of wine. You know, thank you, Sir Brian, with an eye for the hooch.
Yeah, for
that's just, you know, just to.
But so thank you, Michael. That is so nice. You are so good to us. Thank you so much.
And then blowing right in with 77,777 for the Striper boost is Pastor Jimmy Pruitt, and he says, "Oh, everybody understands basket trauma." The title of our last show. It's a real thing. We love you guys. We'll miss you while we're in SoCal, but looking forward to catching up ASAP when we get back. Great show as usual. KYOB and KTLD. It's from Pastor Jimmy and Damonette.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. We love you too. And coming in with a mini Striper boost, 7777, it is Sir Brian with an I. I don't understand why Adam and Tina don't just get separate laundry baskets. Have one for socks and hoodies, and then she can put her stuff in the other one. I love the courage, and I hate when they fight. Well,
aww.
Not really fighting. It's just I'm just a problem solver offering solutions to this family feud. Thanks, Brian. Oh,
okay, problem solver.
In the evening, y'all.
In the evening!
Michael Hall checks in with $7 in the PayPal. Thank you very much, Michael. And then 4,786 Satoshis from Redna. First-time donation. Oh. So Redna gets a
decanted.
First-time donation. Just want you both to know your show is appreciated.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you. That's all we really want to know. Your marriage and path to God are all offset a year behind my wife and I.
Aw.
It's exciting to hear so many echoes in the journey you share. You are blessed. It's exciting to see how true it is that the Spirit goes where He wills. God bless. From Redna.
Oh, I love
thank
that.
Thank you, Redna. I'd love to know where you're from, Redna. Awesome. Hey, 4,738 Satoshis from Comic Strip Blogger.
CSB.
Howdy, lovebirds. Howdy. Tina and Adam. I'd like to recommend a very good podcast, www.unrelenting.show.
Oh.
It's a podcast by Darren and Gene. Gene is a Jewish Russian American, so he has interesting insights that complement nicely the half Irish, half Polish American Darren. I also like bigly their health issue talks. Yo, CSB.
Wow.
There you go. Ooh, coming in with 1, 2, 3, 4. It's Dreb Scott. Dreb Scott, who is, of course, he no longer is doing the chapters for the Curry and the Keeper podcast as we have the AI doing that. Now, I know he's kind of like...
Oh, AI took his job?
Well, they're setting it up so that he can go in and he can edit them and add images because there's no images. And if anything, the images that Dreb adds is always great.
Yes.
And he says, Matthew 11, 28-30.
Oh.
Oh, we have to look that one up. Can you do that?
You want me to do it?
Yeah, Matthew 11, 28-30. Perfect God shot for my morning. I needed this. Thank you. I think he actually, I think he texted me this, honestly, because we had a back and forth about this the other
Matthew
day.
Matthew
11, 28. Mm-hmm. You got it?
Yes. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Oh, yeah. We talked about
that. A fan favorite. I love that one. Yeah.
I think that, wasn't that my God shot from last week?
I
think it was.
Was it?
I think it was. And he boosts in again with 1, 2, 3, 4. He says, walking feels so good. Oh. I'm on day 59 of consecutive days, hitting at least 10,000 steps or 5 miles a day.
Wow.
On my morning walk, as I boost right now, that should be illegal in some states, walking and boosting at the same time. I'm on a journey to lose 50 pounds. So far, I've lost 16. My knees have stopped hurting. And Mrs. Dreb says, I've even stopped snoring.
Yay.
Hashtag go walking, he says. Beautiful.
Yeah. You know what? Dreb. Add a weighted vest. You'll watch the weight just drip off of you.
And now Pastor Comsey checks in. And I have to say, I didn't read this previously, so let me just check in real quick on our Fountain dashboard, because Pastor Combsy says, subscribe via Fountain on May 29th. Have you seen it? Well, hold on one second, Pastor Combsy. Let me just make sure that we saw that. Okay, I'm logging in. I'm getting into the dashboard. It's all very exciting here right now. And would it be under Pastor Combsy? I'm hoping it would be. And May 29th. Let me see. I apologize. I should have done all of this early. I see Steve Weiss. Oh, Steve Weiss coming in.
Oh.
With a subscription. Where is Pastor Combsy? You have to let me know what...
This is called administrative work during the show.
It is. Pastor Combsy, please let me know what email address you use, because it may be in here, but it's all by email address. So, and thank you, Steve Weiss. Thank you, Steve Weiss, coming in with 25 bucks there. Very nice.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Oh, man. Love it. I love you guys. Love Vineyard Nation. We love hearing from you. We especially love the notes that you send along with your Boosts and with your PayPal and now with your Stripe donations. Thank you all very much.
Yes, thank you so much. CurryingTheKeeper.com
is where you can find out all the information you need. Wow, we're on perfectly on time today.
We are.
We can watch more Ted Lasso.
Yay. Yeah. You
know what it's time for? The question of the week.
All right, everybody, it's time. Question of the week. Tina has the question. I don't. The question of the week. So... it's where Tina asked me a question, and I go, depends on what you mean.
I know. Like, well, who am I talking to? Okay. Can you share a funny story from school when you were in school?
A funny story?
Or a good story.
Most of my stories were traumatic because, you know, people would do something to the teacher's coffee, and I'd get blamed. I don't think I have a single funny story from school.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I mean,
how about a traumatic one?
I can't even repeat the traumatic ones. I mean, I got beat up. I got
you did. Look yes. at you now.
I know. It wasn't until okay. Well, the funny story is I've
wasn't it the girl in the bathroom? Remember there?
Well, that's not a funny story from school. Well, I'll tell that story. Okay. Although it's kind of sad. Oh. So at school we had there were these girls and they had on the cool. Ski jackets, Elessa, E-L-L-E-S, and, you know, E-L-L-E-S-E. It was like the brand to have, very expensive. And they would walk, and of course, they were beautiful. And it was, and I was like, oh, there goes the Elessa gang. And they would prance around, and they would spit on me. Who are you, the ugly, ugly person? And then years and years later, and I think I'm already on MTV and I'm back visiting Europe and I'm at some bar for some reunion and I go into the bathroom and she is literally the toilet lady standing there with a dish with tips.
With
yes. Yeah. And I was like, oh, hey, that was a horrible story. I feel even worse now that I said it.
You were nice to her though,
of
right?
Of course I was.
Yeah. Did like, she recognize you?
Right away. I'm like, here's 20 bucks. Please. I did not have a good
So you don't have
experience.
Many like, I, any stories you want to share?
There's nothing that was ever any good in school other than I mean, here's an example of my childhood at school. So we were been on vacation and during that vacation it's somewhere in the southern part of Holland and The Wild One was on. Marlon Brando, black and white movie. Marlon Brando, he has a motorcycle game. The Wild One, and he has this leather jacket on, which is just the most awesome thing. So for at least a year and a half, I'm like, I want a leather jacket. It was very expensive. I want a leather. No, I can't have a leather jacket. So, like after a year of moaning and groaning about this. I got a leather jacket for my birthday or for Christmas. You know the story?
Yes.
But I could only wear it to school and they gave me a chain with a padlock and I had to chain and padlock my leather jacket to the coat rack at school.
And so nobody could take it.
So nobody could steal it. And of course, I diligently did it. And people would look at me like, what is wrong with you? That's the kid who chains his leather jacket to the coat rack.
How old were you?
15, 14.
That's funny. Did it ever get stolen?
No, of course not. It was chained. It was padlocked. No, there was no way it could ever get stolen.
So you would wear it to school and then you'd have to hang it up.
I'd have to padlock it through the sleeves.
You couldn't wear it through the school?
No, I wore it to school. But then,
I mean, during the day.
Well, I'd have to unpadlock it and put it back on.
No, I mean, wear it.
In school?
Yeah.
No. It was a heavy leather jacket. You couldn't, you know.
So did you have the chain when you were walking to school? Were the chains through your sleeves?
No, the chain. Like mittens, only chains. Yeah. That idea of, no, I left the chain and the padlock at school. And kids go, they'd be ripping the chain around because it was still connected to the coat rack. The wood was all worn away from kids doing
Did anybody else do that?
No, of course not. I also had mittens with a string as a kid, now that I think about it. And it would be like, what's wrong with you? Like, well, my mom is afraid I'm going to lose my mittens.
Oh my
like,
God.
Are you a moron? I said, no, but my mom wants me to do this. So
yeah, that's
this
funny.
All leads back to the see-through body shirt trauma. I need a session. It's trauma. How about you, babe? Any funny stories?
Well, I mean, yeah, I get, well, I don't know if I told this story or not, but when I was in third grade and I had to, my mom forced me to start wearing a bra. Do you know this story?
Maybe.
So my mom, and I was like, oh, I was starting to develop at a young age because I was a big girl when I was little. I hated this bra because I would constantly pull it down. And then before we were going out for recess, I took it off. Because I couldn't stand it and I put it in my coat pocket and we were playing jump rope.
Oh.
And then everybody goes, Tina! And they're pointing and there's my bra on the playground.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I was so embarrassed.
Oh. At least you didn't have to chain padlock it to the coat rack.
Yeah, but my bra was laying on the it was so embarrassing. Oh. I hated that. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, babe.
And then there was a time when I was in middle school when I thought it was so cool. It was the 70s. It was the mid-70s, and I bought a pair of patchwork platform shoes. Now, I was already 5'7 in middle school. Yeah, I was tall.
Really?
Yes. And so, and I bought a denim, like jumper dress, and I wore my jumper dress and these platform shoes. I was like 5'10 walking down the hallway in seventh grade. I was like Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But I didn't have a great school experience.
No.
I wish I wouldn't have let it just slip through my hands like I did. I had a boyfriend. My boyfriend just took up all my time.
You picked it up later and you put yourself through college.
Yeah, I know. But gosh, I mean, I didn't get involved in sports. I didn't get involved. No. I didn't like really have a whole lot of friends.
No.
I mean, I had some friends, but because I had a boyfriend, he just, boring. Yeah. Anyway, but look at where I'm standing now.
Look at where we are now, baby.
It's never
too late to have a fantastic love affair.
Exactly, baby.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for Curry and the Keeper, episode 138. We will be back next week. I love you, Tina Marie.
I love you, Adam Curry.
And we'll see y'all then. Bye-bye.
In the evening,
Curry and the Keeper.